You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
Hey, Brett and Sam in on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Doing a little scrambling before the show. May have heard the news not fire there. Sam and I working our way through that, so doing a little behind-the-scenes action before we jump on for today's show. Always good fun stuff when that happens, right there, Sam?
Oh, yeah, learning a lot here about these satellites.
Yeah, satellites, automation software, yeah. Just kind of makes you wish for the old school days where there were no computers. You just had nothing but the tape that you had to cut. And there was always someone in the studio. Unfortunately, those days are long gone in the radio industry.
When I went to school, in one of our classes, we actually did get to try cutting tape the old school way. And it was fun, but it was really more just, this is how we used to do it. You'll never have to do this ever again.
Oh, man. What year did you go to school? Because I'm a little older than you, and I just went to school at Brown College just after they had stopped doing that. When did you go?
I graduated in 2015. I started in 2012. But again, it was more just a...
Yeah,
it was really just a, hey, you'll never have to do this, but because we have a tape machine, let's have some fun and try it out.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I wanted to learn that, too, just to be able to say that I've done it, since I've run into many people in radio that go, oh, you don't know the struggle of actually having to go through and physically cut tape, where nowadays we can just play a nice little MP3 file, or as we were just trying to do during the news, just trying to hit the right button over there on the computer. It's definitely different than radio used to be. Thanks very much to automation. Also, unfortunately, pushing a lot of people out of jobs in the radio industry, but that's a topic for a whole nother day. Glad to have you with us on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Lots of big news to cover, including Al Franken regretting his resignation from the Senate. We're going to talk more about that at 4:30, as I want to run down the real politics of that and whether we were better off with Franken resigning or not back in 2017 when the controversy was fresh in our minds. At least this is purely from a political perspective, not an ethical perspective. I thought, well, maybe the Democrats are better off without him, but kind of changed my mind on that. And we're going to touch on that at 4:30, as well as some other issues with Franken being back in the news. I'm sure we're going to get lots of feedback on that. Love to have your thoughts as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Also on the docket today, we are going to be talking about affordable housing. This is going to be coming up in segment two, and a real looming crisis, especially for rural affordable housing. The Star Tribune basically wrote an article last night about a large apartment complex in Fairmont, Minnesota, which, if you're not familiar, that's basically by the Minnesota-Iowa border. And this large property was bought by a Twin Cities businessman. And basically, everyone there is seeing about a 100% rent increase. Of course, we've talked a lot about affordable housing and, well, the old statement, the rent is too damn high. We've talked about that a lot on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee and did a little research on how that's affecting rural areas of the country. And there is a ticking time bomb that is really going to make things rough over the next few decades. We'll get into that in the next segment as well. But want to start off with some headlines before we get into more of the show, and got to start off with this right here. I don't know if you saw the Instagram picture back on Friday, Sam, but apparently MSP Airport still had snow on the ground in one little field by, I think, where the planes take off.
I heard that. My girlfriend didn't believe that it was true.
Yeah, I saw the picture of it. It was basically covered with dirt, so I guess very, very small bit of snow. It didn't even look like it.
Insulated a little bit by the dirt, but it's hard to believe.
Yeah, it's completely gone now, as confirmed by MSP. So no more snow on the ground in Minnesota. We'll be snow-free for another 3 or 4 months, I suppose, before it comes back right around Thanksgiving, and hopefully not earlier. Also, another quick non-political headline, traffic. If you think that's been worse over the past few years, well, you are correct. According to a scientific study, Last year, just over 24% of our freeway system was congested. Drivers were caught in traffic for about a quarter of the time during their morning and afternoon commutes. It's the highest level of congestion since 1993, when an annual MnDOT survey was conducted that measures traffic. Now, what do they actually define as congestion? If you're moving down a freeway at less than 45 miles per hour. But that's kind of insane to think about, Sam, that we're literally spending a quarter of our freeway time going less than 45 miles an hour.
I've gotten good at staying off the freeways, and it depends. If you're right at like 45, maybe it's still worth it. But if you're going like 30 on the freeway, sometimes it's almost just better to, a lot of the times they have those frontage roads, or in mm-hmm. St. Paul, it's, I think, Concordia and St. Anthony that go right down the freeway. Those are usually a lot easier to get by when I'm delivering anyway than mm-hmm. getting stuck in that traffic going into downtown St. Paul.
And by the way, 45 miles an hour to me, that's still very noticeable as compared to the usual 55 to 65 miles an hour that I'm heading down the freeway, depending on what road. And by the way, with that percentage, again, last year we spent 24% of our freeway time in congested areas. That's expected to actually increase to 35% by the year 2030. So things aren't getting any better. By the way, so I saw this article on City Pages, and of course, I don't often bring this up on the air, but every once in a while I do delve into the cesspool that is the comments section on news articles. And apparently, I don't know what other thing to call this than mass transit truthers, because there's a lot of right-wing commentators down there basically stating that MnDOT purposely wants to have the roads congested so we spend more money on mass transit. So, yeah, I got a little kick out of that. Mass transit truthers purposely congesting our roads, so we'll build bike lanes and light rail.
Sound like the same breed of people that believe the Earth is flat and NASA's just taking all of our money
exactly.
to give to the elites, the liberal elites.
Yeah, the liberal elites with their bike lanes and their light rail trains. All right, one other headline, actually two more headlines before we head to our first break of the show. So this one is from the Associated Press, and Sam, listen up for a second. See if you can follow along and find the one part of this headline that I'm not very happy with, at least the part that sticks out language-wise, because there are other parts of this story that aren't necessarily good that we won't get into. But there's a wording in this two- or three-sentence article that I have a real problem with, and we'll get to in just a second. But here's the headline slash, well, summary. Minnesota's top law enforcement officials are launching a working group and public hearings on police-involved shootings. Attorney General Keith Ellison and Public Safety Commissioner John Harrington say the group will begin work later this summer. The move comes as police departments and the State Bureau of Criminal Apprehension have often come under heavy criticism for their handling of police-involved shootings. So, any part of that that's kind of maybe ringing in your head saying that doesn't quite sound right?
Is it the police-involved shooting?
Exactly. Right there. Yes. It's whenever I see that term in a news story, whether it's on radio, print, or TV, that kind of makes me cringe when you hear the term police-involved shooting. Because it's not police-involved, it's police actually shooting someone.
Done by police, usually.
It's done by police. I mean, the logical way to say a type of headline where a police officer shoots someone would be police shot and killed a person. Or if you need to make your headline even shorter, you could say police shoot person. But to me, that just has kind of that very Orwellian sense to it when you say police involved shooting. It just kind of minimizes what actually happened in whatever incident.
Especially when oftentimes it's an unarmed person who's being shot. It's one thing when there is an armed person, but oftentimes, yeah, it's a police shooting an unarmed person would be a more appropriate headline.
Yeah, and what I mean by this too, this has nothing to do with justification. Set that aside for a second. It's just that term, police-involved shooting, because think of it this way too. Let's say a child accidentally shot someone. You wouldn't say a child-involved shooting, because that would be confusing for a number of reasons. If you say child-involved shooting, you would think, well, was it the child that actually got shot, or was it the child that did the shooting?
Or even hunters. When you shoot a deer, you don't say, oh, it was a hunter-involved shooting. You say a hunter shot a deer.
Yeah, I like your term right there. Hopefully no one's thinking that we're talking about Hunter Haas, the other host of the
Minnesota.
I didn't
even think about that. Sorry, Hunter.
No, we're not talking about a Hunter-involved shooting. We're actually talking about the person who goes out and hunts. But yeah, I never thought of it in that way, too. It just sounds goofy to say that. So, yeah, that term just needs to be retired, officer-involved shooting. It's just literally what it is. Officer shoots someone.
Yeah, and like you said too, it's not talking about justification, whether it was rightfully done or mm-hmm. whether it wasn't. It's the wording of it, and let's just say it how it is.
Yeah, exactly. All right, one more headline before we head to our first break. You remember the Amazon strikes that were happening last week, especially down in Shakopee. Unfortunately, they didn't really seem to have much of an impact on Amazon's bottom line, as they reported their best ever Prime Day this year. I guess the other news, though, with that was that Best Buy and Nike also had great days as well, maybe kind of riding off the coattails of Amazon. But I said it once, I think, last week, don't buy your stuff on Amazon. Really, if you do enough searching, you can find exactly what you're looking for at relatively the same price, sometimes even cheaper, maybe a little more expensive if you just do a little searching online. Jeff Bezos does not need any more of your money.
No, I'm not. The only Amazon-related thing that I really go through is Audible for audiobooks. But even then,
mm-hmm.
I try to just get a physical book, but I'm in my car so often that the audiobooks are actually great. But I try to avoid any Amazon-related products.
Yeah, my friend and I were talking about Amazon on Friday when we were out having a little dinner, and we got into a discussion about this. He's with me as well. You know, you don't want to spend any money with Amazon, but there was only two categories he was thinking of where you almost have to kind of spend money with Amazon. One, interestingly, I didn't know this, actually, as you said, had to do with audiobooks, where typically if you don't shop with Amazon, you're paying like $50 because it's treated as a form of entertainment, not as something that's actually a necessity, which is the case for the person I'm talking about. And then the other thing he brought up as well, this is a little more frivolous, but video games. Apparently, if you buy video games through Amazon, you're always going to get high quality, where if you kind of buy it from some other sources, he hasn't had quite a lot of luck. And actually, as I think about it myself, back when I bought video games years ago, yeah, typically the ones you didn't buy from Amazon usually did kind of break down. But
are you speaking specifically from online shopping, or are you also counting
online shopping?
Okay, because I personally, when I buy video games, I love to go to, they're in the malls, there'll be the booths, just like the small little mm-hmm. one-off like resellers, and those are great. But yeah, if we're talking specifically online, that's you can't find everything you want at those places either.
Mm-hmm. Either way, though, yeah, do whatever you can. Avoid shopping at Amazon. I mean, all you need to do is look at the worker conditions. We don't need to get completely into that. We do need to get in touch with our one Amazon expert. Oh, I'm blanking on her name, but we frequently had her as a guest on the Mike McEntee Show back in 2016 and 17. Interesting to get her thoughts after the last few years, since we haven't talked to her since then, about what's been happening with Amazon, especially in light of the strikes we've recently been seeing. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Coming up next, we're going to get into a conversation about affordable housing and what I think is a looming bubble that's about to burst, especially for rural affordable housing. That's on the way next on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Brett and Sam.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Tom Hartman here, telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour. We have been on the air on AM 950 for over 5 years, over 200 original shows in the can, including musicians, artists, promoters, authors, comedians, and more. We're on the air Saturdays at 6 p.m. If you'd like to advertise, get a hold of us at am950radio.com and stay tuned this weekend, Wall of Power Radio Hour.
Back in January 2018, the tax laws changed. You probably won't get a tax deduction for donating your vehicle to Auto Technical or any nonprofit, and it's going to put us out of business. Over the past 30 years, our charitable mission has been reconditioning vehicles for thousands of families. Many vehicles are reconditioned and sold to the public. We are self-supporting, but donations have dropped by more than 80%. We can hold on until November, December, but without your help, we'll be forced to close the doors. The Tubman Shelter Workforce Training Center will no longer be able to refer clients to us for free cars. Please, please help us. Call me if you have a vehicle to donate. Richard@autotech.org, 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526. Autotechnical.org.
Minnesota Progressive Repartee at Sam and Brett on your Monday afternoon. Tell you what there, Sam, I was just listening to that ad for Autotechnical from Richard. We need to get him on the show over the next few weeks because, as you can hear in his ad, he was severely impacted by the tax law that was passed back in 2017, where he's saying because people don't get the deduction tax-wise that they used to get for donating cars, they may be forced to close their doors, which is really too bad because Autotech's not only been a sponsor here on AM 950 for years and years, but the impacts of giving someone who can't afford a car that mode of transportation are just huge when it comes to child care or finding a job. Boy, I really hope, if you're listening out there, do whatever you can to try to help out Autotechnical, as they've really been hit hard by the tax law of 2017. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, because especially here in the Twin Cities, I think you'd agree with this too here, Sam, our public transit isn't exactly the best, and it's tough to really get around unless you live immediately in Minneapolis and St. Paul to get around without a car.
Yeah, if you live like right in downtown, maybe it could work, but like I've been driving since I was freshly 16, and I've been working for the over 10 years dependent on a vehicle, so I can't imagine not having a vehicle of any kind.
I didn't even live on the St. Paul side that much, but it seems like the Minneapolis proper side, at least if you're in Minneapolis proper immediately, yeah, you have pretty good access to mass transit, but I feel like it's not even as good over in St. Paul. So, yeah, definitely help out Autotechnical. And hopefully we'll have Richard on over the next few weeks to talk more about the impact that they've been facing from the tax law. All right, well, continuing on the not-so-good news, this is an interesting thing that was written in the Star Tribune yesterday about this apartment complex in Fairmont, Minnesota, which, if you're not familiar, Fairmont's basically on the Iowa-Minnesota border down there in southern Minnesota. So they have what's called a 64-unit, three-story building. It's called the Fairmont Square, built back in 1972. It was built by four partners. One of the partners, unfortunately, died over the past year. So they sold it to a new guy by the name of David Oshansky, who's a Twin Cities businessman. He bought out the remaining partners and is now rehabilitating the apartment unit. But back on July 9th, property manager slipped a letter under tenants' doors notifying them that they were going to be basically having their rents more than double in some cases, which is really, really not sustainable if all of a sudden someone comes up to you and says, hey, your rent is doubling, or even if you own, hey, your mortgage is doubling. Not many people can really handle that type of an increase in their expenses. And by the way, talking about some of the residents at Fairmont Square, well, they're trying to see if they can rally enough residents to try to counteract some of these rent increases. Overall, they've counted 67 to 70 residents in the building, including more than 20 children. Some have lived there for decades, and they said at least 20 have home health care or personal care attendants, and 26 get Section 8 residential assistance. Now, here's the key part, because the Star Tribune went and actually talked to a few residents in the buildings, and we'll notice something about them as I tell you about some of these tenants. Haley Breyer, who lives with her boyfriend and her two-year-old son in a two-bedroom unit that costs around $429 a month, including utilities, faces an increase to $815 a month, excluding utilities. Breyer works as a recovery advocate for substance abuse and mental health providers in the Fairmont area, and her boyfriend Michael works at a group home, so notice something, they're both employed. They say they're both paycheck to paycheck, and they're still actually on SNAP assistance because they're not getting paid enough money. Another example, you have Brandon and Crystal White. They live with their 6-year-old daughter, Rayleigh, and 15-year-old son, Izzy, in a 3-bedroom apartment. Brandon recently lost his job at a call center in Fairmont, but now works at a gas station, so even though he fell on rough times, still is employed. And his wife works for a public transit agency. So again, they're both employed, but they're not going to be able to afford this more than doubling of their rent. There's some other examples as well with a disabled man who has 3 kids. He's afraid he's basically going to be homeless when the place closes. So it goes on and on where basically all of these people are actually working. Yes, they are getting some government assistance, but they actually are working hard. They have full-time jobs, yet they can't. They're already living paycheck to paycheck. Now all of a sudden their rent is going to more than double. And here's the problem, what's really coming up, because we've talked again about the lack of affordable housing here on the Repartee. Hunter and I, a number of weeks, or it might have been a few months ago, got into a discussion about the lack of affordable housing here in the immediate Twin Cities area, but it's actually going to be worse in rural Minnesota and basically rural areas around the entire country because of a certain program that's sort of sunsetting in a way. Basically what it's called, and pardon the jargon here, there's a little bit of a technical jargon, but it's USDA Section 515 housing. Okay, so what does that actually mean? So this was a program that was actually put in place back in 1963, and it subsidizes the creation of affordable rural housing by giving construction loans and continued support to landlords over the terms of their mortgage. So in other words, they're basically helping subsidize the building of affordable units over the lifespan of their mortgage. But the problem is, after the mortgage has expired, or actually after they've paid off the mortgage, they no longer have to guarantee affordable housing to their tenants. So essentially, when their 30 years is up, well, you can jack up the rent to market rate. And the problem of what's happening is that a lot of these mortgages are starting to be paid off over the next few years. In fact, they're estimating 1,500 units a year over the next few decades will be coming off this program where the rent can actually be jacked up to a market rate. And in fact, it's expected to increase by the year 2030 to tens of thousands a year. So this is kind of a hidden problem that hasn't been really getting a lot of attention. This expiring of all of these buildings that were built under USDA Section 515. Again, kind of a boring name, but it's just going to accelerate the lack of affordable housing we have. Well, not just in rural America, but also, of course, in urban and suburban areas of the country as well. And the thing that kind of makes this complicated as well, I have some personal experience to actually working in low-income housing. So when I first graduated from college, my first job out of school with my accounting degree, was actually working for a CPA firm. And the job I ended up taking was a CPA firm that specialized in auditing businesses that were renting low-income housing units. Not that I really had much interest in it, but it was 2008, 2009, about the only job you could get at that point. So went ahead, took my job there, and we basically ended up auditing all of these different companies that owned low-income housing. Now, by auditing, that just means I was checking their financial statements so they could go off and say, well, hey, our statements have been financially audited and they're accurate, yada, yada, yada. Basically, it's not the tax side of it, but that's besides the point. But as you're auditing a lot of these financial statements, you kind of find out that even the owners, they're not exactly making a ton of money renting to low-income housing and subsidized housing. So the problem is not necessarily with, oh, greedy owners that are just jacking up the rent so they can make more and more money. That's not necessarily the case. In fact, if anyone's really going into owning low-income buildings, you're not exactly going to be making a whole ton of money. Back when I was working at that CPA firm, even meeting with some of the owners, they're not exactly living the high life or exactly, you know, living as millionaires or billionaires. So my experience with that, working with the MHFA, making sure they're MHFA, I should say, making sure they're meeting those requirements, basically working, it's a complicated issue to try to figure out what the solution is, because this is a huge issue that I think is really going to pop up, as I was just talking about with this program that's expiring over the next few years. And even if you look at the 2020 candidates, Sam, you haven't really seen a lot of talk from all of the candidates about affordable housing. I mean, the only thing Donald Trump has done was appointing Ben Carson as the head of HUD, basically, I think, because he was a black guy and he once lived in subsidized housing when he was a kid. But that's about the only qualification Ben Carson has, if you even want to call it that. Now, of course, Ben Carson, I would trust him for brain surgery, since that's where he's an expert, but not necessarily for affordable housing, which is what he's supposed to be able to do, being the head of HUD.
Yeah, you correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't followed the national issues too closely, but I haven't really heard of him doing anything significant since he's been appointed. So, again, correct me if I'm wrong on that. But
Yeah, so this is something that's only going to be an increasing need over the next few years. You and I were talking about how we've lived in apartments units for the past few years that have seen rent rapidly increase. I ran into that. That's essentially why I moved out of my place. You were saying the same thing, where your rent kept going up year after year, and you said your place didn't even seem like it was necessarily getting better.
Yeah, it kind of disappointed me, because not only me, but my neighbors were moving out before me, and it wasn't just one, it was almost half the building on, and maybe more, but my side of the building. And as it was going up year after year, it's almost as if the building was getting worse. Like, they weren't putting any work into it. Bug problems were getting worse, but then they were asking more for rent. It's like, how can you do that? I don't know enough about being a rental property owner, but man, kind of stinks when you're trying to make a living and that's your place to live, and you got all these other bills, and they're asking more for rent, and your living conditions are getting worse and worse.
Yeah, exactly. And as I was saying, well, I'm not saying you were necessarily in low-income housing, but you don't necessarily go into that as an owner to make a lot of money. That's typically not going to be the case. But there are some who actually do that, not necessarily with low-income housing, but this has happened a lot in like New York and San Francisco, where owners purposely keep their buildings vacant so that they eventually can sell off that apartment building and maybe make it a retail space, or just sell it to someone else so they can make their money, because they find that actually to be more profitable than renting out their units to actual tenants.
And I would think that too, because the apartment building that I was living in happens to be kind of close to the light rail line, the blue line. And I know just a few blocks down over, they had just built like a new Cub Foods with some, I don't know if they're luxury apartments, but they're definitely more high-end apartments than I was living in. That was just four blocks down from my building. So I wonder if maybe they're trying to, if they're shooting for something like that also, where they have enough vacancies, maybe they can get a deal on, I don't, selling it to someone who wants to put up luxury apartments there.
Yeah, good old luxury apartments. Yeah. Either way, the solution, as we've seen, is not going to come from the so-called free market. I think, unfortunately, you are probably going to need some government involvement in terms of trying to solve affordable housing, whether that's actually maybe subsidizing contractors to build buildings that actually can have affordable tenants or affordable housing, or, well, lo and behold, actually trying to increase wages. Of course, that's obviously been a problem. In fact, I was looking at a number here from that article I was reading, where rent has increased 22% in rural areas. Income has only gone up 8%, probably similar numbers in urban and suburban areas as well. So it's either got to be increasing wages somehow, which would probably be from a minimum wage increase, or doing something to incentivize builders and owners to actually rent out affordable units, because this is only going to get worse over the next few years.
The free market's a great thing for so many things, but I think sometimes we fail to realize that if everything's run on the free market completely, very necessary things to living, like housing or even healthcare, we could talk about. Well, we don't, not on this episode, but
yeah,
things like that. It's really hard for the free market to be able to be fair about this, and you get the option of, well, people are just going to die then is the other option, or have nowhere to live, and is it, what kind of country? Is that America?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, looking at some of the 2020 candidates in terms of what they've proposed, again, they haven't really talked a whole lot about this. In fact, as you probably watched the debates, I don't think anyone asked about this, at least from the moderators, and I don't remember any of the candidates bringing up. But a few have made some different proposals, including Cory Booker, Julian Castro, and even Joe Biden. And well, the problem I have with all three of their proposals is that it basically involves tax credits, which help a little bit, but it doesn't actually involve bringing down the amount of rent that a landlord could charge, or at least trying to incentivize them not to charge a lot of rent, which would actually mean incentivizing them to actually build affordable housing. So tax credits, I think, are kind of a band-aid to the solution. So I know Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have put aside some different proposals as well. I think Elizabeth Warren actually has one where she wants to invest $470 billion for two housing funds that would give states money to build and rehabilitate or preserve affordable housing. So I think that's kind of down the right track. But this idea of tax credits kind of strikes me as being a very centrist solution that's more of a band-aid than something that can actually solve this. Because especially if we head into an economic downturn, which I think we will over the next year or two, this problem is only going to get worse and worse.
It's definitely I think it's inevitable that at some point we're going to. We've had a great economy, but we're doing things like cutting taxes and not dealing with any of our deficit while we're in a good economy, which is what we should be doing. So I don't know. I'm no expert on this, but it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Exactly. I don't know when, but
at some point. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I would watch probably September or October. That's usually when markets end up crashing. And with the amount of corporate debt that we have in the economy right now, yeah, something is due to happen. We certainly have a bubble, at least in terms of corporate debt. We're going to take another break and switch topics and get to Al Franken, who's re-entered the news cycle. He and actually seven current and former senators say they regret Senator Franken resigning. We're going to talk more about that and whether his resigning actually helped or hurt Democrats in the 2018 midterms. That's on the way next on The Repartee.
Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association and Powderhorn Park are thrilled to invite you to the Powderhorn Art Fair. Shop hundreds of local and regional artists on serene Powderhorn Lake. Taste foods from local food trucks and enjoy exploring the Powderhorn community. Considered the best regionally juried art fair for nearly three decades, it takes place right in South Minneapolis in picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. Join the fun from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The success of the art fair comes from Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association's long-standing collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and a portion of the proceeds support youth programming at Powderhorn Park. There'll be over 200 artists, 20 food trucks, and great fun at Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. For more information on the art fair, go to ppna.org. That's ppna.org.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
At Better Futures Minnesota, we transform the lives of men and support Minnesota's environment by working towards zero waste. Our approach reaffirms each man's dignity and supports self-sufficiency. Better Futures Minnesota is a work training model. Through our reuse, retail warehouse, and supervised work crews with specialized in residential and commercial building deconstruction, property maintenance, appliance recycling, and janitorial services, we demonstrate ways to employ hard-to-employ men on a pathway to independence. Hire our work crews at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to 1 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Tonight's mostly clear with a low around 62. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 82. Wednesday, still sunny with a high near 83. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 83. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 85. We've had some strong storms with damaging hail come through the Twin Cities recently. Trust the locally owned Snap Construction for a free, thorough property inspection. Their staff knows the process well and has handled thousands of insurance claims. Free inspection, 612-333-SNAP, or check them out online at snapconstruction.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett and Sam on your Monday edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Have a comment from the Facebook feed. Trish is watching. Open will be over at the Minnesota State Fair. Can't confirm or deny anything, but I think we're going to try to get some of our shows over there, especially on the weekends. And you know, who knows, maybe we can get the weekday shows over there at some point. Basically, it's a little cost prohibitive to head over there. It's not not very cheap to get a booth over there at the State Fair. But I never know. Fingers crossed. And she was saying we definitely need a big DFL presence over there at the Minnesota State Fair. So hopefully we'll be among those people, but can't make any announcements quite yet. I know from previous people that have been here that is definitely quite a challenge to set up remote broadcasting from the Minnesota State Fair. But hopefully technology has improved over the past few years where that's a little bit easier to do now. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, if you'd like to chime in about our next topic, and that is Al Franken, back in the news as the New Yorker wrote a piece about him, where basically it says that he regrets resigning from the Senate back in late 2017, no surprise there. I'd always kind of gotten the vibe from Al Franken that he wasn't really thrilled about going, but he was facing so much pressure from that Democratic caucus to resign at the time. I mean, just about every senator was basically saying he should resign. I even know a lot of people on the radio were saying he should resign. Even I was kind of thinking that at the time as well. But I think a lot of this came from the fact that this happened right as the Roy Moore controversy was heating up late in 2017. You remember him, don't you, Sam?
Yeah.
Good old Roy Moore. So I think the pressure was really there for him to resign, basically because of Roy Moore, to basically make Democrats look good ahead of that December election of Roy Moore versus Doug Jones. And the question is, was it actually worth getting Doug Jones elected and then losing Al Franken? Because I think an argument could be made that if Franken had stayed in the Senate, the feeling still would have been very fresh with people thinking, well, he should have gone, and that would have been fresh in the news cycle. And I think enough people in Alabama, because remember, Doug Jones only won by, I think, a few thousand votes, might have thought, well, both sides are the same. The Democrats didn't have Al Franken resign, and the Republicans, well, they're the same thing with Roy Moore. I'm just going to throw my hands in the air and vote for Roy Moore. Maybe that would have been enough to actually push the election in his favor. But I don't know, Sam, if that actually would have been worth the trade-off right there, trading Al Franken and then having Doug Jones in the Senate. Because if you remember what happened, obviously, last summer as we moved from late 2017 into the middle of 2018 and late 2018, that's, of course, when we had the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. And I could only imagine Al Franken at the Brett Kavanaugh hearings probably being a very effective opponent of Kavanaugh. And then, of course, you also would have had the absolute circus of Roy Moore being involved in the hearings of Brett Kavanaugh. Could you just imagine that entire scenario of them trying to actually get Kavanaugh confirmed while they have an accused child molester in the Senate in Roy Moore?
Right. And just knowing Al Franken, he would have grilled him so hard. And I don't know if that would have made a difference on the confirmation hearing, but it would have been nice to hear him grill him. And it just always upset me too, though, because the Roy Moore and the Al Franken situations were so different.
Oh, such, completely.
And they
yes.
were almost equalized completely when they were very, very, very different situations.
So. Yeah, and when I talk about that, saying maybe voters would have tried to weigh those against each other and say both sides are bad, that's purely from a political angle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, talking from, of course, what actually happened. Yeah, it's Franken posing for a photo, not actually even touching her. In fact, as the New Yorker piece wrote, this seemed to be part of several other skits that he's done with women that have said they didn't have any complaints with what Al Franken did versus Roy Moore doing something a whole lot more creepy than Al Franken. We don't even need to get into the details of the allegations, but it's way higher on the creepy side.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not even condoning necessarily what Al Franken did either, but they were just such different levels of, I don't even know the word, atrocity. Just what Roy Moore did and is accused of doing And to think that, well, I mean, because you're right, it is all political. It's about, well, what are the voters going to think? And especially the people who aren't really going to dig into it, the people who are going to just hear the headline and then make their decision based off that, yeah, they're going to equalize it. And so it's hard to say, well, was it right for him to resign? I don't know. But I remember when it happened, I was one of the people who was upset with him resigning. I didn't think he should have resigned at all.
So you were with him not resigning the entire way.
A lot of like what Matt had been saying, I really had wished that they would have at least let an investigation go through, you know, rather than just, oh, well, we better do this quick because the election's coming up here. And
952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And I think it completely had to do with that Alabama special election. If there was no Alabama special election, I think they probably would have let that investigation play out in the entire Senate. But, of course, that didn't happen. We don't have Al Franken. We do have Tina Smith in that Senate seat. And there's really nothing even left that Franken could potentially run for in the immediate future for at least a statewide office because, well, obviously Tina Smith has announced that she will be running in 2020. Conceivably, Franken could announce a run and try to primary her, which would lead to a huge fight within the DFL. And I don't even think at this point that Franken would have enough time to even launch a campaign because, well, at least with modern politics, you basically have to be campaigning at least 2 years ahead of when you're actually going to run. And he's already behind the eight ball. At the earliest, he could maybe get a campaign launched by September or October just because you have to put so much infrastructure together. I don't think he would quite be able to launch a legitimate challenge against Tina Smith. But who knows, maybe because he has a lot of enormous popularity among Democrats, he could still actually launch a primary, but I don't think the party would necessarily be thrilled with having a well-funded challenger go up against Tina Smith. Also, another Senate race, of course, well, Amy Klobuchar just won re-election in 2018, so she'll be there through at least 2024. But the interesting scenario I could think of, the only way we could get Franken maybe back in the Senate outside of running a primary against Tina Smith would be if Amy Klobuchar becomes the vice presidential nominee. I don't think she has any chance of being a presidential nominee, by the way.
No, but I could get behind that, actually. If she was a vice presidential nominee and then that would open up the seat there for Al Franken to run there, that would be great. I think that's probably best case scenario.
And what would happen, of course, if Amy Klobuchar did not only get the vice presidential nominee, but nomination, I should say, and then ended up winning, of course, with the Democratic presidential nominee, it would actually be up to the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, to appoint a replacement. And then they would potentially, well, actually, they wouldn't potentially, they would face a re-election in 2022. Which would certainly put Governor Tim Walz in an interesting situation. If you had a Vice President Klobuchar, would he feel a lot of pressure to actually appoint Al Franken? And just to add another layer to it, he would be facing re-election in 2022. So you would have to think from his perspective, would he necessarily want to appoint someone that might be a little controversial? Although I think a lot of people have kind of thought more about this issue, and I don't think Al Franken's quite as toxic as he was in 2017, because at the time, even back into early 2018, I thought there's no way he could ever run for a statewide office again. But now I think people have thought more about the issue. They've kind of let things settle down and actually kind of realized, well, he actually did deserve a full investigation, which, by the way, I'm not discrediting the accusers, but I would think let's have a full investigation and find out what actually happened and what the facts are. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hey, Sam, as a heads up, I actually lost my video screen in here, so I can't see if we have any callers on the line. So why don't I let you introduce them if we have some?
I got you. We actually do. We have a Randy from St. Cloud who wants to talk about the Al Franken situation.
Hey there, Randy. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm about to pop here listening to you guys talk. Was it good that we got rid of Franken to get Doug Jones, who's...
Oh, I'm saying that's the logic that, yeah, the Democrats used at the time. I actually don't think that paid off in the long term at all. I think, in essence, that probably backfired against them, because I feel like this is purely from a political standpoint that I think having a Roy Moore in the Senate actually could have hurt Republicans more in 18, but that's not even from the ethical standpoint of the fact that Franken didn't even face a fair investigation.
But the more important part of that is that Doug Jones doesn't really help the Democrats. He has voted with the Republicans a bunch. I mean, he's basically a Republican in Democrat clothing. And it's just so totally indicative of it's quintessentially Democrats to just, it's why we're exactly where we are, and if we keep up this kind of crap, we're going to end up with Trump for 4 more years.
I kind of agree with you, because it's very reactionary and it's very defensive. You're not actually being proactive. You're reacting to what Republicans might think of you.
Yeah, and people like, they really like Tina Smith. I'm sorry. Tina Smith, I don't want to badmouth her, but she's not a fighter. She's not really standing up anywhere. And Klobuchar is totally behind Big Ag, which doesn't help our planet at all. It doesn't help our food supply. There's so much wrong with all of that thought process that at some point, if we don't have a clean sweep pretty soon, we're not even going to be a country. We might not be a planet. Now, the planet will survive. Mm-hmm. We might not, but the planet will do just fine. So, anyway, that's my thoughts.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Randy. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take one more break and come back and wrap up with more of your phone calls on Senator Al Franken.
Chances are, after spring cleaning, you missed a spot. A couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding. You'll likely get a gross residue. And your roof probably has some black streaks, too. Your roof and siding aren't always easy to clean, but they're definitely the most visible parts of your home that give it its curb appeal. So let Blue Sky Services clean your roof and siding. Blue Sky's safe soft wash method won't cause any damages and will make your home look like new. Right now, Blue Sky Services is running their summer special where you can get your whole house, roof, and siding clean starting at only $447. That's the most viewed parts of your home clean for only $447. Then mention AM950 when you call Blue Sky Services to get an additional $50 off. So get the curb appeal back on your home and call Blue Sky Services at 952-467-2447. That's 952-467-2447.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Eat fresh and support local farmers this summer by shopping at the Minneapolis Farmers Market. The market has the best selection of fresh and local fruits and vegetables, meats, and farmstead goods. Fresh at the market now, cherry tomatoes, cauliflower, broccoli, cucumbers, zucchini, beets, carrots, and even some new baby potatoes. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is open every day, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Plus, there's additional locations Tuesday at the Hennepin County Government Center and Thursdays at Nicollet Mall. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
Back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, a little less than 2 minutes left in the show. I think we have time for one more caller, which we'll get to in just a second. But just back to my point saying that the Franken resignation in the long run, at least politically, didn't really help Democrats. All you got to do is look at all the red state Dems that lost in 2018, including McCaskill, Heitkamp, Evan Bayh, and Bill Nelson. So not quite sure that the argument that Dems were making at the time that losing Franken would actually help Democrats because it would maybe show Republicans. I'm not sure exactly the argument they were making. But anyways, let's wrap up the show going to Mark in Fridley. Hey there, Mark. What do you think about Al Franken?
Hey, guys. I know Al, and I know all about Al. And the reason he left the Senate was not because of the pictures. That was the means. A week before those pictures came out to the day, he had given a speech at the Open Market Institute where he attacked big technology and big media. And he said that big technology represents the biggest threat to democracy. And in closing, Amy Klobuchar's got to go. Her own words, John McCain is her
mentor. Hey, Mark, going to wrap you up because I want to get to one more call before we go. Since he's our Saturday afternoon host with Native Roots Radio, I'm awake. Robert, I got about 20 seconds. Sorry, I don't got my time. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'll go quick. Great job, Sam, having Sam on the repartee. Richard Painter had 10,000 people view me on Facebook when he was on my show. Al Franken is not the answer. There's people like I know personally that came out that he groped at the state fair. Mm-hmm. If that guy comes back, I'll be the first one with the protest flag or protest sign out there protesting him.
All right. Thanks so much there, Robert. Unfortunately, we are literally out of the time. Down to the final few seconds. Thanks for listening to the repartee. We got to go.